Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Lesson today is on the subject of deliverance from sin. You know, there's a common expression these days that goes like this. I got saved and immediately the Lord delivered me from such and such a sin. You know, sometimes that happens. The appetite for the sin goes away and there's just no struggle to stay away from it. But more times than that, God doesn't deliver a new convert from particular sins. In those cases, he just has to deal with the temptation from now on. So the trouble is this. He's been led to believe that God is going to deliver him from the sin that's bothering him in his life. And so he lives a frustrated life waiting for God to do something that God isn't going to do. He's inclined to believe there must be something wrong with his faith or that something else is wrong because he hasn't had his deliverance from sin. Well, quit frustrating yourself. If the Lord hasn't delivered you from a particular sin, then he's probably not going to deliver you, not at all. Instead, he has given you other instructions in the Bible on how to deal with the temptation to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, the Lord says very clearly, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Did you see that? He didn't say that he would take the temptation away. He said that he will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So you have to keep in mind that this idea that you get victory over sin by being delivered from the sin is not necessarily the way it goes for most of us, and it's not necessarily the way it goes for most of our sin. God provides a way to escape with the temptation that you may be able to bear it. So what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at five things that we find in Romans chapter 6 through 8 that will help you in dealing with sin in your life. Now, after we finish this broadcast, you ought to read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 very carefully, because those are fabulous chapters in the Bible, and one reading is usually not sufficient. You ought to read them and meditate upon them and realize what God has done for you in salvation. Now, the first thing is, regarding dealing with sin, regarding this idea of being delivered from sin, the first thing is you must be ashamed of your sin. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 21. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. The Bible says, and we're right in the middle of a long context here, but you'll get the point. He says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Notice what Paul is saying about sins of the past. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof, watch it, ye are now ashamed? Look in Romans chapter 7 at verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Look at verse 18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So we see from these three passages of Scripture, first of all, that in our flesh there's no good thing, that those sins that we feel compelled to do are things that we hate, and those things that we did before we got saved are the things whereof we are now ashamed. You know what Paul said? Paul said that you ought to be ashamed of what you've done. You ought to hate what you've done. You ought to hate your sin, and you ought to recognize that your sin is, as he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, no good thing. You see, when you are disgusted with your sin, your desire is to quit it. And I've just noticed, and you probably have too, if you're not ashamed of your sin, well, you're not going to want to leave it. There's no reason for you to leave it. I mean, because you're not ashamed of it and you don't hate it, why would you try to quit it? Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 43 says, "Ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed." Do you see that? When Israel gets right with God and they see the evils that they've committed, he said, you're going to loathe yourselves. So as long as you still find pleasure in a particular sin and only feel bad after you've committed it, you'll never quit it. Let me say it again. As long as you still find pleasure in the sin and you only feel bad after you have committed it, you're not going to quit it. You know why? For the same reason that dogs return to their vomit. Today there are people feeling the effects or remembering the recent effects of drinking too much alcohol one night, and they've waked up hungover either today or, you know, a few days ago. And it didn't feel good. You might have even had to miss a little bit of work. But as bad as that felt, and as risky it was for you to drive home in that condition, you know what? This coming weekend, you're going to do the same thing. And afterwards, you're going to feel bad about it. You've spent more money. You said foolish things. You should have come home. But until you are ashamed of your sin enough to hate it and recognize that it is no good thing, you're probably not going to quit it. You're going to have real trouble with it when you're tempted. All right, here's the next thing. Second, you must yield to God and not to the sin. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." All right, so he says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield your members, yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what he said. So once you have become disgusted with your sin, then any time the temptation comes up, yield to God rather than to the sin. You see, the temptation to sin is a temptation to yield to the lust of the flesh. And the flesh is powerful. When your thoughts go toward the sin, when your appetites go toward the sin, when your flesh gives in to the sin, so that you are worked up about it, then you know what happens? You find just how powerful the flesh really is. But let me tell you something. It's not as powerful as the Spirit of God. So when you yield to God rather than to the flesh, you are relying upon the strength of the Spirit of God to get you past the less powerful strength of the sin in your weaker flesh. Let me say it again. When you yield to God rather than to the flesh, the strength of the Spirit of God will get you past the less powerful strength of the sin in your weaker flesh. As strong as your flesh is, as strong as the temptation is, they are no match for the Spirit of God. He's going to win. After all, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, to yield to the flesh is to be carnally minded and to be at enmity against God. And when you are carnally minded and you are at enmity against God, you cannot please God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Let's read verses 5 through 8. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when you find yourself in the middle of a temptation, yield to God, not to the sin. And predicate that by realizing your disgust for the temptation. All right, here's the third thing that we find. We don't want you to be frustrated because you have a friend of yours who professes that when he got saved, he was delivered from the sin that still bothers you. That it makes you think there's something wrong with you. And the truth of the matter is, God may have delivered him or her from that sin and not delivered you. Well, he didn't say and he didn't promise that he was going to deliver you from it. What he said he would do is that during the temptation, he would make a way for you to escape. And we're talking about that right now. If you will be ashamed of your sin and yield to God and not to the sin, you're going to start gaining some traction against the temptation next time it comes. But here's the third thing. The third thing is you must mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, what are you supposed to do? You through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. That's what he said. Well, the Bible says then from Romans chapter 6, you take all these together, Romans 6, 7, and 8, all fit together. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, you know what we find out? That we are crucified with Christ. In other words, when you got saved and you were baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, Christ's body several thousand years ago was crucified, and you are crucified with Christ. And as a result of that, Romans chapter 6, verse 7 says that he that is dead is freed from sin. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we find that the Spirit is going to quicken your mortal body. Romans 8, 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So here's what we've got. You get saved, and doctrinally what happened is you have been crucified with Christ. And because of that, you are dead, and he that is dead is freed from sin. And then the Spirit is in you to quicken your mortal body. So what we must let the Spirit do is we must let the Spirit do his work, killing off fleshly desires and deeds and awakening in us spiritual desires. Do you understand? The Bible says in Romans 8, 13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. All right, so when the Spirit of God comes in you, he goes to work killing off fleshly desires, killing off fleshly deeds and awakening in us spiritual desires. I think one of the difficulties that people have with in dealing with sin in their lives is they're constantly attending to, Lord, you need to kill off these fleshly desires, but they are not awakening to spiritual desires. And with the Spirit of God in you, it is His desire to quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is, to give you spiritual appetites and desires to replace those fleshly desires and deeds. You see, there's some practical things you can do to work through this process of the Spirit mortifying the deeds of the body. Regarding your sin, here's something really practical you can do. Don't think about it. Regarding your sin, don't look at it. Regarding your sin, don't touch it. For instance, if you're tempted to smoke, don't touch a cigarette. Don't look at a cigarette. Don't watch a commercial about cigarettes. Don't go to that section of the store and look at the cartons. Don't think about that. When the thoughts come in, move them. Get your mind moving in another direction. Allow the Spirit to awaken in you a spiritual desire in your mind to replace that area in your mind where you were thinking about these things. Or whatever. I just use smoking because it's such an easy thing to conceive of. People that have had trouble with it have such a difficulty dealing with the temptation after they get saved. And seriously, not thinking about it, not looking at it, not touching it. You can't smoke if you don't put the cigarette in your mouth, okay? Is just an example of how you would deal with any other kind of sin similar to that. Same thing. Some people have had trouble with pornography. Don't think about it. You say, well, I've got this image in my mind. Well, those thoughts have to be brought into captivity of Jesus Christ. Don't look at it. See? Don't touch it. If that had to do with the computer or something like that, you see, you've got to stay away from those things. Then regarding the work of the Spirit, pray. Read. Study your Bible. And stay faithful in church under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God from a Bible-believing pastor. That's right. In other words, on the one hand, don't think about the sin, don't look at the sin, don't touch the sin. On the other hand, pray. On the other hand, read and study the Bible. On the other hand, sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Clean you up. The Spirit of God will quicken your mortal body, see, and kill off those deeds of the flesh. All right, here's another thing. Here's the fourth thing. You must apply yourself diligently to serve the Lord. Look at Romans 6:18. In Romans 6:18, Paul said, "Being then made free from sin," watch it, "ye became the servants of righteousness." Ye became the servants of righteousness. So, as you yield to the Lord, apply yourself diligently to His service. You know, In Ephesians chapter 2, you know verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But do you know what verse 10 says? We know what 8 and 9 say because they're such great passages of Scripture on salvation, the free gift of salvation. But what does 10 say? 10 says, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So he says, as soon as you get saved, you ought to start working for the Lord. Why is that important? Because Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Do you not realize that many of the difficult temptations come from your thoughts? You're thinking about those things, and then eventually you're doing those things. What does the old adage say? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. So by serving the Lord and by serving righteousness, you know what happens? Your thoughts will be toward the Lord, and your thoughts will be toward His work rather than toward those sins that so easily beset you. And when you work for the Lord, what you want to do is you want to apply your heart completely to that work, no matter whether it's in your job or in your church or in your yard, wherever you're working. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So what you do is you get up in the morning and say, okay, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, and then I am really going to bust it at the work today because I'm going to do this for the Lord tirelessly. And what happens is when you serve righteousness like that and you apply yourself diligently to His service, then what happens is your thoughts get established. And those thoughts are established along the lines of the Lord and not along of the lines of your sin. Work diligently for the Lord. And then finally, when you find that you still have to deal with certain sins in your life after you get saved and the Lord hasn't delivered you and He's not going to deliver you because He said He would make the way to escape with the temptation, then what you want to do is you want to follow these five things. And the fifth one of them is this: you must suffer through the temptation with Christ. You must suffer through the temptation with Christ. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 17 and 18. We are children of God, according to verse 16. 17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what He said? You'll be an heir with Christ if you suffer with Him. Now, according to that text, you're going to suffer. Else why would Christ be willing to give you the crown of life for enduring temptation? Have you ever read James chapter 1, verse 12? James chapter 1, verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. He's going to give you the crown of life for enduring temptation. Do you know that the crown of life is the martyr's crown during the tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10? Wow! That indicates to me then that the Lord is willing to give you such a great crown because He recognizes the amount of suffering that can go when staving off a temptation to sin. And you know what the problem is? The trouble is that many saints just can't take it. They're not resolved enough to deny themselves. And they're not yielded enough for the grace of God to dominate their sin. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you're not under the law, but under grace. Then the indication is that as we are under grace, grace supplies us with the strength to keep from allowing the sin to have dominion over us. And when you're not willing to endure the temptation until God's grace strengthens you in the time of temptation to not let the sin dominate you, you'll yield to the sin. And that's not what you want to do, and that's not what God wants you to do. You know, there are some people, truly, who are not going to turn from sins that are killing them until they are faced with the prospect of death. That's right, and that's very sad. Truly, I know of several cases, but two come to mind. Folks that had trouble with smoking after they got saved, they felt very guilty about it. They were ashamed of it. They did the first point. They were ashamed of it. But they just wouldn't yield to God. They wouldn't trust the Lord's grace to get them through. They wouldn't apply themselves diligently to work to keep themselves, you know, their mind and their thoughts established in the Lord. And so they kept giving in. But you know something? When one of them was diagnosed with COPD and when the other one was diagnosed with cancer, and then death was imminent as a direct result of their sin, both of them suddenly found the strength to quit. You don't want to wait until you are faced with the prospect of death before you turn from the sins that are killing you. Toughen up and realize that if Jesus was tough enough to die for our sins, then you should be tough enough to fight off the seasonal pleasures of those sins. That's right. Now, if you will follow these five simple scriptural steps, you will be able to escape the sin during temptation without having to wait for the Lord to deliver you permanently. And you're going to find that you won't be nearly so frustrated waiting for a deliverance that may never come. So what are these five things? What are these five simple scriptural steps that you should follow to deal with sin in your life rather than waiting around for deliverance from sin? Well, first, you must be ashamed of your sin. As long as you're still finding pleasure in it, you're not going to turn from it. But when you look at that and abhor that sin and recognize it is not good and you hate it, then you're going to want to really do something about it. Second thing, you must yield to God and not to the sin. You see, the Lord, the power of the Spirit of God, is much stronger than your flesh. And so just simply yield to the Spirit of God. He is in you to deal with that sin. And then third, you must mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God is in you to awaken you to new spiritual desires, and He's in you to kill off fleshly desires. Let Him do His work. Yield to Him, and let Him mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. Pray, read, study the Bible, stay faithful in church. Quit thinking about your sin. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. And then apply yourself diligently to serve the Lord, because as you serve the Lord diligently, your thoughts are established. And when those thoughts are established, you're not thinking about the sins, and you're not as likely to commit them when you're not thinking about them. And then finally, be willing to suffer through the temptation with Christ. He will get you through that, but not without some endurance on your part. Don't chicken out early. He'll get you through. And God bless you when you put these things into practice. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.